119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119, you found your place. The Bible says in verse 57, says, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity we have to be here at the house of God on this beautiful Lord's Day. Lord, I thank you for these that's taken time out to come to your house today. Lord, and I pray now that you'd have your way in the furtherance of the service. Lord, we thank you for the old songs that's been sung. Lord, I pray that you just ever be in the preaching this morning. I pray for that anointing, that unction. Lord, I pray that you give liberty here this morning, Lord, and that you speak to hearts. Lord, I pray for that, and it may be lost, Lord, that you touch them, and this might be the day that they'd come to call upon you and trust you in a free pardon of sin. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are away today. Lord, I pray that you give them safe travels. Lord, that your hand of protection be upon each one. Lord, we love you, and we thank you again for the privilege to come to your house to worship you. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do and all that you accomplish. In Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. I want to look at a simple thought this morning on eight marks of a new creature. So I got 8 points, and I'll not labor them this morning. If I preach 5 minutes on each point, that'll be 40 minutes of preaching. So you pray for me, and you listen good, and I might not spend 5 minutes on each thing, but I love to read the book of Psalms. I mean, you can just ramble through the Psalms, and you can find a lot of help during times of trouble and problems in your life. The psalmist, as he penned down the Psalms, I believe David penned a lot of them, and he was experiencing trouble in his own life. He was just a common guy like us, and there was many things that he run into, and I believe that he penned a lot of the Psalms when he was in trouble and running for his life and different things that was going on there. Maybe a lot of times when he was on the backside of the desert keeping the sheep and watching over his father's sheep. But I just love to read the Psalms. I like that first Psalm, Psalms chapter 1. That's my favorite Psalm. And if anybody does ever ask me to sign their Bible, that's what I always sign it. And the scripture I use is Psalms 1:1. And he said, blessed. That word blessed means happy is the man. The Bible says, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And the book of Psalms 119, the chapter 119, is about the Word of God. If you'll go down through there and look at those verses in each one of those separate divisions there of Psalms 119, you'll find that the psalmist is writing about the book of the law of the Lord, the Word of God, and different passages. And I like that 165. He said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And I love the book of Psalms. It starts out right. It gives you instructions about how to live your life. And then he talks about meditating in the Word of God. And I believe if we would spend more time meditating in the Word of God, we'd have less trouble in our life a lot of times. If we'd memorize Scripture, we was talking back there and I pulled up a YouTube of Brother Sammy Allen preaching. I was showing Brother Chris there, and I said, I wish you could have heard him preach back in his younger days. I mean, he was doing a pretty good job right there where we was listening just a few years back. But I was telling about he shakes his head like that, and it would just drive me nuts, I think, if rattle my brain to shake my head, but it didn't seem to bother him. He'd throw his hand out like that, but he'd quote Scripture. I mean, quote plenty of Scripture during the whole message. Most of his messages consist of quoting Scripture. Why? Because he'd spent time in the Scripture. He had memorized. He'd hid the Word of God in his heart. And today he's in bad shape, but I promise you, there's still those passages of Scripture that he's memorized. And the psalmist here, he's talking about the law, the Word of God. He's talking about the statute. He mentions just the Word there in verse 49, just glancing there. It said, "Remember the Word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." And just many passages he talks about the Word of God. And I believe that's an evidence of a person that's been saved, is they'll love the Word of God. I mean, they'll read the Word of God and they'll meditate upon it and hide the Word of God in their heart. Everybody ought to know a few passages of Scripture and memorize a few. But we see, he said, here's, we want to mention these eight marks of a new creature. The Bible tells us that a person that's saved is a new creature in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." I was thinking about that passage this morning as I was looking at it. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." To be saved means to be in Christ. To be born again means to be in Christ, and Christ in you. He said, "He is a new creature." I mean, things start happening when a person trusts Christ and he gets in Christ. Their life starts changing. I've noticed a lot of times when Brother Chris and Miss Elizabeth and their family, when they testify, they'll say they thank the Lord for changing their lives. And I'm glad that when Jesus comes in and a person's in Christ, it'll change their life. It'll change the things that they used to do. It'll change the things that they used to care most for. And it'll make them a new creature. People wonder what happened to people like that. They know their old lifestyle, and then they see them in their new lifestyle, and they'll see that change that's taking place. Now, a lot of times that change don't take place all at once, but it gradually. Now, salvation is instant. That person becomes a new creature in Christ instantly upon trusting Jesus as their Savior. I'm afraid there's a lot of people that thinks they're in Christ, but they're not really in Christ. They've never been saved. That's why they have such a hard time trying to do right. I mean, they just can't seem to get out of that old lifestyle. It just seems like sin has such a grip on their life, and they just can't shake it, and it may be because they're not in Christ. He said, "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And when a person's in Christ, them old lifestyle, it begins to fade away. It's not as important as it used to be. Running with that old crowd is not as important as it used to be. And I believe with all my heart that a lot of people that are having such a struggle trying to do right is a lot of times they're just not passed from death into life. The Bible tells us over in John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 39, says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." You know, if I was having a struggle, if I didn't have a change in my life, if I hadn't ever been made a new creature, I believe I'd start searching the Scripture. They tell me that word "search" means to ransack. Ramsack. Just a search and look and make sure. Because I promise you, if you're really, truly born again, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, there's going to be a change in your life. And it goes on over. And Paul tells the Corinthians over there, I believe in 2 Corinthians maybe 13, verse 5, said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Why would you examine yourself to see if there's any fruit, to see if there's any marks in your life? Do you have the marks of being saved? Do you have some evidence that you've passed from death into life? Hey, that those old things have passed away and the new things are replacing those old things? That old music that you used to listen to? Them old places that you used to go? Are they not as attractive and drawing as they used to be? Do you desire different things than you used to? So I want to give you eight things real quick, or eight marks of a new creature in Christ. And I believe we can be fruit inspectors. I believe we ought to search our own, inspect our own fruit, first of all. See where we're at as far as our relationship. There's a lot of people that's got a counterfeit. A lot of people's walked the aisle somewhere. They've signed a card. They've joined up with a church and they were baptized. But in essence, they've never really come to the fact that they were a lost sinner on their way to hell. They've never been convicted of their sins. And that's why they're not convicted today. That's why they can continue on in that old lifestyle, in the drugs, the alcohol, and the things of this world. And they wonder, what's wrong? Why can't I shake this? And I've said this many times. I know that Alcoholics Anonymous has helped a lot of people a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you, salvation will deliver you. I believe a person that gets saved, they got problems with sin. I believe in instant deliverance. When a person truly repents and believes and receives Christ as their Savior, I believe there'll be a change. I believe there'll be a new creature in Christ. He said, the first thing, the first mark of a new creature, and I've already preached all around it here, but the choosing of the new creature, there in verse 50. 7 and verse first part, the psalmist said, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. Thou art my portion, O Lord." We see the choosing of the new creature. Hey, the psalmist said here, and he identified and he said, "Lord, you used to didn't be," in essence what he's saying, "but now you're my portion. You're my part. You're what I want in my life." I remember getting saved. You know, a church took on a new meaning. God's people took on a new meaning. Hey, the Holy Spirit and God took on a new meaning in my life. There was something there that I hadn't had before. As I began to choose that walk with the Lord and to make Him my purpose, portion. Now, I've not always been what I should be, and you haven't either. We just confess up. But I'm going to tell you, when we get saved and we choose the Lord as our portion in life, things start picking up and things start changing in our life. The psalmist identified, he said, "Thou art my portion." David, in one place, he said he was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." There's something wrong with people when they don't want that relationship with Christ. Now, I know there's things that hinders that relationship sometimes. We get cold and indifferent sometimes when we don't read the Word of God like we should, when we don't pray like we should, hey, when we don't go to the house of God like we should, when we don't hang with God's people like we should. And I thank God for the people that I've met down through the years by going to the house of God. And since I've made the Lord my portion in life, I believe He brings us into relationship, first of all, with Him. But then I believe when we've got a relationship with Him and we choose Him as our portion, I believe then His people is important to us. I don't like to run with that old crowd. I don't want to be around somebody that's always cursing, using profanity. I don't want to be around someone that's drinking. And I sure don't want to be around people that's using God's name in vain. I don't want to be around drug addicts. I don't want to be around the worldly places where the drinking and the carousing and the immorality is going on. I can't for the life of me help but wonder, why does people want to go that say that they're saved by the grace of God want to go to Cherokee and go into the casinos up there? Why do you want to go to Las Vegas and go in those places? If you've made the Lord your portion, you're saved, and you've been made a new creature in Christ, why does anybody want to go to those places? There's a problem in their life. They've either got so far out they forgot they was once purged from their old sins, Or either they're just plain out cold and indifferent, or either lost as a ball in high weeds. I believe God changes our choosing of the things that we do. And so we see the choosing of the new creature. I believe a person that's saved is going to choose different things. I believe they'll choose different music even. I was kidding Brother Dave Vosberg this morning. He had called me and told me that he was headed to the jail down yonder, wherever he goes, Conyers or somewhere maybe. But he was listening to WCON up in Cornelia. He was listening to those gospel greats there this morning, gospel singing. And my boy told me one time, a guy told him, when you got so far away that you couldn't pick up WCON, you was too far away from home. Now, we used to listen to country music, but I don't listen to country music no more. I replaced that with different music. Now, I'll hear it sometimes, but I don't turn the radio on over and begin listening. And I sure don't listen to rock and roll music. It's bad enough that we've got those things in our mind, and we hear them sometimes, and if we're not careful, our mind will pick up, our subconscious will pick up those things, and we'll start singing some of that trash we used to listen to. You say, you're just being too harsh. No, I'm just telling you, that stuff gets in your mind. And when we see and trust Christ as our Savior, I believe the choosing of the new creature is different. We'll choose a different kind of music. I believe we'll desire to listen to something that'll benefit us a little bit. We see not only, number one, the choosing of the new creature, there in verse 57, the first part there, then we see the desire of the new creature. In verse 57 also, he said, I have said that I will keep thy word. He said, I have said that I will keep thy words. Words. Not just word, but thy words. When a person gets saved and they get born again, that new creature, I believe, they desire the sincere milk of the word. That's what Peter said. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Just as sure as a baby desires the milk of his mother or that bottle, I believe a Christian that gets saved, if they get started out right and they're discipled right, they get in the house of God, I believe they'll desire the Word of God. There's something wrong with people when they don't desire to read the Bible every once in a while. You ought to read it every day. And I've tried to encourage you to read every day. Read your Bible through. If you've never read it through, you need to read it through. If you're saved, you need to read your Bible through. And I've tried to encourage you, read Proverbs a day. One chapter for that day of the month, a week that it is. If it's the first, if it's the second, if it's the third, read that chapter. Every day, and you'll read at least 30 and 31 verses, and you can always pick up and read that extra one. You can read through the Proverbs several times in a year. 12 times, to be precise, if you'll stay with it. But he said that we see the desire of the new creature. I have said that I would keep thy word. Now, I said that to say this. It's one thing to read the Word of God, but it's another thing to keep it. There's 66 books of the instructions that God has given us as believers. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. And that God has moved upon those old men of old as they penned down the Scripture under the influence and leadership of the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. This Bible is profitable to you as a believer, as a new creature in Christ. It's profitable for instructions, for reproof, for rebuke, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect and truly furnished unto all good works. The desire of the new creature. He said, I have said that I would keep thy word. Do you love the Word of God? He said, if you love me, he said, keep my commandments. there's many passages that indicate, hey, that if we love Christ, if we are truly saved, that we'll love the Word of God. I love preaching. I love preaching. I love to hear it. The harder it is, if you don't call it hard, the harder it is, the better I like it. If they're not preaching hard enough to help me, then they're not preaching hard enough. It ought to sting you every once in a while. But I love to hear them old men of God preach. We were talking about, I was telling Brother Chris about Brother Sammy. He quoted those scriptures. He was very energetic in his younger days, animated. He had a lot. He would preach all up and down the aisle. He'd ride men like Brother Darrell on his back up and down the aisle and preach on running the race. And laying aside the weights that thus easily beset. Brother Biddle, he passed away a few years ago. He could quote the book of Revelations in 30 minutes. The whole book. He could quote the book of Romans and other passages of Scripture. They loved the Word of God. They loved to preach. And they would amaze you preaching. I like all kind of different preaching. I like men that were preaching like they were. I like men to just stand up here and just expound upon the Word of God and take it verse by verse and put it out there where you could understand it. And we see one of the marks of a new creature is the desire of the new creature. I believe we'll love the Word of God. We'll want to get in it and look into it and find out the instruction that God's got. This book will tell you how to raise your family. And then when you've raised your family and you see where you messed up down through the years, you know, hey, maybe you can help someone else. I see where I missed it, you know, raising our children a lot of times. I didn't get them down like I should have and read the Bible and pray with them. That's what's wrong with children today. Hey, they have no time at home, no family time, no devotions with a dad taking the initiative to be the priest of that home. The desire of the new creature. I believe they love the Word. The evidence of the new creature. There in verse 58, he said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I believe there's some evidence of a new creature. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I believe that the desire of a new creature is to walk with God on a regular basis. I believe that He wants the favor of God and they'll put forth all effort with their whole heart to have that relationship with Jesus. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 7 through 14. The Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The evidence of the new creature. I believe the evidence of a new creature is that he wants to please his Father. Hey, he wants to manifest the love of God from his heart to others. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I believe the new creature will put his whole heart into his relationship with the Lord Jesus. Then we see number four. The thinking of the new creature. There in verse 59. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. We see several things about the thinking of the new creature. First of all, I believe a person that's really saved, I believe they'll see themselves for what they really are. we see the psalmist, I believe, he saw himself, first of all. He knew what a wretched creature he was. He knew what had taken place in his life. And then not only he saw himself, but he made haste. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I don't believe it'll take a person months and months and months and years to get to trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist, I believe he's, in reality, what he's saying, he said, and turned my feet unto thy testimony. He made haste to have a relationship, to walk with the Lord in his life. And then we see not only he saw himself, he made haste to have that relationship, but I believe he made restitution. He said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. There was reformation in his life. There was a change. There's something wrong. People don't never change. When we don't never see a reformation in their life. It's hard to find people that's lost anymore, you know. Everybody's saved. But they're just going on in their own way. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm just telling you, it's hard to find anyone that's lost anymore. But it's hard to see evidence in their life. The evidence of the new creature. I've seen people got saved and you could see a change. You could see a tremendous change. I've seen others that were just pretty good people when they got saved. But I promise you there was some evidence in their life that they had passed from death into life, that they had trusted Christ as their personal Savior. We see the evidence of the new creature. We see the thinking of the new creature. We see, number five, the enduring of persecution without forsaking. The bands, verse 61 said, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. You know, if you've been saved for any length of time, if you've been in church, you're going to get your feelings hurt. There's going to be someone that's going to cause you issues. I've heard a lot of people say, well, they got hurt in church. I've been going to church for a long time and I ain't never got hurt in church. Not that I know, can remember. I think sometimes people are just looking to get hurt. They're looking for somebody to offend them. They're looking for someone to persecute them. But I've never experienced that in my life. And I've said this before. I said, I get tired of hearing people say, I got hurt in church. I bet you've got hurt more out in the world than you have if you did get hurt in church. And I know there's some people that's got their feelings hurt. But you know, usually you got to have feelings on your shoulders before you get hurt. Most of the time, that's the problem. But the thing is, do you have what it takes to endure? Persecution, you know. There's persecution out here. You begin to try to witness and tell people about Jesus, there are going to be some persecutions that comes along with that. There's people in foreign countries, mission fields, hey, they're being persecuted every day. But you see those and you read those stories of those that were persecuted and their love for God and they just continue right on. Those martyrs, there's a lot, Fox's Book of Martyrs. You see people that was persecuted. They were burned at the stake. They gave their life for the cause of Christ, but they continued on. The enduring. I believe when God saves us, He gives us what we need to endure, the persecution, the problems, the getting hurt feelings, and all those things that we can continue on with Him. I think God's looking for some enduring Christians. Some persevering Christians that don't get their feelings hurt every time they turn around. The end of persecution without forsaking. And then, number six, I like this, the thankfulness of the new creature there in verse 62. He said, at midnight I will arise and give thanks. How many, just think, I thought about this morning. How many times have you ever got up at midnight and just gave thanks? Not many, have we? Usually, we don't even wake up at midnight if we're sleeping pretty sound. But the psalmist said here, he said, at midnight I will rise and give thanks. You know what one of the first things of a nation turning their back on God was being unthankful. Individuals that are saved, most time when they turn away from the church and from God, hey, they're unthankful. We sang that song just meant God has been good. Boy, I tell you, hey, God's been good to me and my family. He's been good to me and my family. And I've got a lot that I could get up at midnight and give thanks for. All the many blessings that He's given me. He's given me healthy children. He's given my family, my dad and his brothers, they give them long life. I mean, we've had a few people die in our family, but not very many. But I'm afraid we're fixing to start experiencing a lot of death in our family because they're all in bad shape. They've lived so long and their bodies are wore out. Their minds are gone. And it won't be long till they'll be crossing over. But up till this point, we've been blessed. We've been blessed to have our family. My mother passed away at 91. My dad's 94. Got an uncle out yonder, 92. Got an aunt that's another uncle here that's 90. That some of them's got Alzheimer's. Some of them's having a lot of problems. My children, my grandchildren. I've been blessed. I've got a lot to be thankful for. Hey, I was able to get in a good car and ride down here this morning and come to the house of God. Wouldn't that be a pretty looking thing to lay out a church and just try to find something to keep and hinder me from church? But God's been good. And if I lost everything tomorrow, I'd still have to say God has been good. I turned 65 Saturday a week ago. And God's been good in our life. I've been healthy. I've got a few little things, and I know I grumble all the time. They've been aggravating me. I was telling Debbie about all my aches and pains the other day. My knee was hurting. My wrist was hurting. My back was hurting. I had to go to the chiropractor. She says, anything else I need to know about? I think that's about it. Well, my other knee is hurting just a little bit now. I went to the doctor the other day, and I told him, I said, Doc, I said, I'm going. I went with my shoulder. I said, this ain't pertaining to the shoulder. I said, but I'm going to Colorado for 2 weeks. And I said, my knee sure has been hurting. He said, you want a cortisone shot? I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to have one. So he gave me one, and it's been good. I hope it lasts. The thankfulness of the new creature. Hey, we could probably all gather around here and spend an hour or two being thankful and giving thanks to God for His goodness, His mercy. I don't know how people can just walk away from God. Quit church. Quit their relationship with Him. There's something wrong with that individual. Then we see the companionship. Number 7, we see the companionship of the new creature there in verse 63. I am a companion to all them that fear thee. I am a companion to all them that fear thee. Verse 63. And of them that keep thy precepts. I'd already mentioned that. You'll get different companions. The Bible tells us over in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Over in 1 Corinthians 13, 33 said, evil communications corrupt good manners. You know why a lot of people get in trouble? They're hanging around with the wrong people. They can't shake them old companions. And they keep luring them away and dragging them down. And some people say, well, I'm going to win them to God. Well, I promise you, that it's easier for them to pull you down to their level than it is for you to pull them up here. And I promise you, anybody in here, and I'm pretty strong, but most likely if we start tugging here, you're going to pull me off this platform. And a lot of people choose the wrong companions. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth countenance of friend. Hey, you are what you hang around, and you're going to be who you hang around with. You'll end up being like them most of the time. A lot of people got in trouble hanging around with the wrong people. A lot of people ended up in jail being with the wrong people. A lot of people went to the wrong places with the wrong people, and they got in trouble. A lot of people lost their testimonies because of their companions. The companionship of the new creature. I believe a saved person wants to hang around with the right kind of people. And then we see, lastly, number 8, the prayer of the new creature. There in verse 64, he said, "The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." He said, "Teach me thy statutes." That ought to be our prayer this morning as believers, as Christians. Teach me, Lord, how to walk. Teach me how to live. Teach me what I need to do. We preached a little bit the other night about being surety for a friend there in the book of Proverbs. I say, if you'll listen to the Bible, it'll keep you out of trouble. Somebody comes up to you and say, "Hey, how about signing this $10,000 note for me? They won't loan me no money. I need a co-signer." Hey, all you got to say is, "The Bible tells me if you're going to remain my friend, I don't need to sign that note for you." Don't be surety for a friend. You know how to stay out of debt? Just don't borrow a lot of money. There's a lot of people who got these credit cards. The Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. And here's the prayer of the new creature: "Teach me thy statutes." Yet we know these things, but we fail to do them. But that ought to be our prayer. Lord, teach me. Lord, when the message is preached, what was that preached to me for? Was there something in that message that we ought to ask ourselves? Lord, teach me something through the Sunday school lesson. I appreciate Brother Darrell. He's been teaching through the book of James. It's a very good book. A lot of good instructions of how we're to live. And the first chapter there, it said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." So many times we sit around in church services. We hear preaching. We know to adhere to it. And yet we walk out those doors and go in our own way, the old way that we've been going in, and we don't change our lifestyle. The prayer of the new creature: "Teach me, Lord, thy statutes. Lead me, Lord, in the right ways. Help me to choose my friends wisely. Help me to have a relationship with you, Lord, that'll make a difference in my walk with you." 8 marks. Do you have these marks as a new creature, as one that's been saved? I believe it's pretty good evidence here if we've got these marks that a person's truly been saved. But then that person that may be listening or watching, or you may be here this morning, maybe you can't find a lot of those marks. Maybe you've got problems in your life. Maybe you just can't seem to shake that old crowd, that old lifestyle. It'd be good to do what Paul said: examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Are you really saved? Do you have a place that you can go back to where your life was changed and where you were made a new creature, where you started walking with God? Was there ever a time when you were walking with the Lord and now you're not? Then you might be saved, but you need to find out. And if you can't find no evidence, when I made the first profession, the only profession besides when I got saved, when I was a boy, me and a young man were sitting out. We were sitting out in the cemetery there on one of those grave lots there, and we was talking about that. And I don't remember exactly everything that he said, but he was, in essence, here's what he was saying. He said, you know, we're saved now. Said, and every once in a while, he said, you have to go back to the altar and you got to confess your sins, basically, and get forgiveness of those things. Like, just what he said, continue on like you were living, but every once in a while, you got to go down and make it right. And I won't never forget him saying that to me. No, you don't have to sin. And if you do sin, though, we do have an advocate with the Father. He said, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I believe a person that's a new creature in Christ, somewhere along the line, hey, they're going to get right with God. And if you ain't getting right with God, you ought to check up and just make sure that you're saved. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Have you been truly saved? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you have any evidence in your life? If I couldn't get out of sinning business on a habitual basis, hey, I'd check up and see where I was at. Bible said, he that's born of God committeth not sin. Some of them say that's practice sin, but is that which is within does not sin? We know we all can sin. We're capable of whatever we were before. But I believe in a new creature, a person that's saved, I believe there's a desire. I believe there's a choice that we're going to make. And we may mess up and we may get sin in our lives, but we won't be happy. I've had sin in my life and didn't enjoy it. Might have enjoyed it for a while. But I'm going to tell you, you can't have the joy of God and sin in your life and continue on in that lifestyle all your life. You need to check up and see what's wrong. Come on, Miss Tina, we're going to give a verse of invitation. There may be someone here today, I don't know, you might need to pray. Maybe someone watching by the way of the webcast. Maybe this message was for you. There were several people watching, I could tell. And I don't think that there's anything happens in your life by accident. I believe the providence of God has things set that we can listen and hear. God may be speaking to your heart today. He may be giving you a warning to check up. We're not promised tomorrow. And I've always said this, if I'd have died before I got saved, they'd have preached me into heaven. And I remember several occasions where I was close in situations that could have resulted in death. And they would have preached me into heaven. They said, well, he's a member of Pontfort Baptist Church or Timbridge Baptist Church when I first got saved. But I wasn't saved. I didn't have no evidence of a true conversion, of being a new creature in Christ. I was living for the flesh. I was living that old life. But I'm glad at the age of 17, something happened in my life. Second bench from the back, I walked down that to that old-fashioned altar, and I believe God did a work of grace in my heart somewhere between the back and the front. I've had some peace. I hope I've got a little evidence. I hope people can look at me and tell that, hey, he's a new creature in Christ. There's still a lot of things wrong with him. There's still a lot of problems in his life, but hey, I can see some evidence that he's been with the Lord. And that's what the psalmist says. He said, Lord, he wanted to make him his portion. Have you made him your portion this morning? If not, let's all stand. The Lord's speaking to you. Find you a place, bow your unworthy head, and ask the Lord to come into your heart if you've not been saved. Hey, it'd be a good day to get born again. To junk yourself and take your place as a sinner and call on Jesus. You may be maybe backslid today. Maybe cold and different. You know, I'm not trying to preach anybody lost is saved. I want to give you assurance of your salvation instead of trying to make you feel like you're lost if you're not. But if you're lost, you need to get junk it and get born again.